The Secrets of Staying Connected, How to Do It. Rudolf Steiner said this, "Gradually we come to realize that the so-called dead, and indeed the whole spiritual world, are involved in and care deeply about every aspect of earthly life. Thereby we come to understand the supreme importance of earthly life as the only sphere in the universe where death can be experienced. And not only death. Earth is, above all, a place of connection, of relationship, and love. Love, connection, relationship occur only on the earth. We had better take care of them. Those fruits we take to heaven." A common air of gratitude. Steiner's first principle for communication with one who has died is that we need to enter into a space of the most profound gratitude for the life of the person who has passed and for the joys and happiness we enjoyed from being in a relationship with them. He recommends paying attention to the sense of gratitude beneath the surface of our consciousness, as the dead will have common ground with us if we affirm that life is a gift. He calls that the common air of gratitude. Life always has something to give us. We should refrain from expressing our yearning or grief for the loss of that person. We should approach them with scrupulous care and great propriety. Says Steiner, we must be able to raise ourselves to a feeling of thankfulness that we have had them. We must be able to think selflessly of what they were to us until their death, and not what we feel now when we have them no more. It is helpful to express universal gratitude for the experiences of life and every experience, even the smallest, reaffirming a sense of community with the world around us and thus solidarity with all existence. Embodying a feeling of hopefulness in life, we must communicate universal trust, faith, and confidence in life and humanity. We must remain open to how these qualities present themselves. Our motto must be, life always has something to give us. Three blessings. Bearing these ideas in mind, I begin to include in my morning meditations a brief version of the Three Blessings Gratitude Exercise, popularized by psychologist Martin Seligman, the founding father of positive psychology. Also called the Three Good Things, this exercise aims to increase happiness and a sense of well-being by transforming our negative thoughts into positive thoughts. In my morning ritual, the three blessings that I record in my journal are pretty basic. At first, statements of three simple things that have gone well during the day. I am also desperate to ensure that my grief will not tie Carl to me or to the earth, or in any way impede his passage in the spiritual realms. I release Carl the best I can, remembering Steiner's cautionary words. When we lose these people we love, the better we can feel what they were to us during their life, the sooner will it be possible for them to speak to us through the common air of gratitude. Appreciation. Steiner's concept of gratitude includes an appreciation for what that person meant and still means to us. He says that only in modern Western materialist cultures do we partition them from our consciousness and believe that they have no further interest in our lives. The dead have a deep interest in human life. They eagerly seek information about the human life they have left and are eager to participate in and influence the lives of those they love and care for. They want to work with us so that we can receive their guidance. They want to help in the evolution of humanity via a reciprocal and caring relationship. To alter our perspective, we need only build a bridge between the living and the dead. When we open our hearts to caring in any relationship, we make it easier for the dead to communicate with us. Actions speak louder than words. Reading Steiner's words helped me understand that the dead can appreciate or understand some aspects of human life more fully than others. Most compelling for them is the evidence of our human appreciation of the actions they undertook in their human life. While it is tempting to reiterate the valuable and honorable qualities of our departed loved one, speaking about actions is likely to yield better results. We need to speak the language of the dead, the language of verbs. For them, everything is related to activity. In Steiner's view, our thoughts of love and our memories equal artistic creations. They are like art to the dead. He says, each time a dead soul encounters a remembrance of itself in the soul of a living human being, it is as if something streams over to that soul that beautifies its life, enhancing its value. Delicate moments of going to sleep and waking. After we attend to these prerequisites of gratitude and appreciation, we can move on to speaking and listening. Some specific approaches can nourish our communication. First, timing is essential. We can develop a consciousness of what Steiner calls the delicate moments of going to sleep and waking. At the time of falling asleep, we may be most open to communication from the dead. So that is the best time to put a question to them, a question that may be answered when we awaken, if we listen carefully. We can then prepare the thought or question during the day, ask it as we were falling asleep, and listen for an insight when we are waking. Four simple steps. Four simple steps can support this approach. First of all, we can remind ourselves of the love we feel for this person. We can address them with real warmth of heart. We can visualize actual moments we spent together. We can say what impressed us about what was helpful or valuable to us. Reading to the dead. The dead need nourishment that can be drawn only from the ideas and thoughts of those with whom they were connected during life. For the first period after death, Steiner does not specify how long, we offer the highest service by reading to the dead. By this, Steiner means reading, not reading aloud, from books of a spiritual nature that the person could appreciate. This reading is nourishing to the departed soul, as it can remind them of the world they knew on earth. We need only form a picture in our soul of that individual as we know them in life, standing or sitting before us. Then we softly read a work of spiritual content, following the ideas with alert attention, always keeping in mind that the dead one is before us. Our reading has the effect of instructing the soul. For about 3 months, I chose to read for Carl from several books by American poet and writer Mark Nepo. I pictured Carl in my mind as I read about fear, death, grief, forgiveness, courage, and redemption. Lessons from reading Rudolf Steiner's work. I find in Rudolf Steiner's book support for many of my ideas. In most non-Western cultures and at earlier times, loved ones held the dead close and greatly valued connection with them. As the dead are genuinely interested in the human lives of those they were close to, reading to them is an effective way of keeping in touch. If we focus on verbs and actions, that's action words, as we communicate with them, we can expect a reciprocal relationship and to feel supported and nurtured by them. We will benefit in numerous and various ways. I also conclude that my death will be made more comfortable for those who love me if none of us are afraid of connecting with dead people. In discussing my conversations with Carl, I try to model the appropriate behavior that is not pathological and does not contribute to fear in others. My experience. In late March 2016, when I began recording Carl's words in my journal, I think it must be my imagination. So I ask for the gift of discernment. Is this truly the voice of my loved one? Rudolf Steiner offers an entirely different perspective. When we speak to the dead, what we say comes from them. And when they speak, it comes from our soul. That is a startling revelation. My soul is speaking to me through the voice of my beloved. So that I can start my day with Carl's loving words, I soon change from evening recording to morning journal recording. I add the three blessings, an appreciation of Carl's life, a few sentences focusing on his actions, followed by my letter to him. I do that so that I can act on his morning advice. His reply then follows my letter. Typically, a communication session between us would last about 40 minutes. I eagerly anticipate our daily communication. During the day, I visualize Carl as he was in our life together, and I think about the questions I will ask him at night. Often, I will fall asleep with a question in my mind, requesting that he send his advice in the morning. An example. 2 days before my 74th birthday in January 2017, after a rough night following a heartfelt plea to Carl for guidance, I receive a vivid prophetic dream just before waking. It is a hopeful romantic dream about love and marriage with another man, a new partner. It is a precise dream and a direct response to my question. Thank you for listening. I'm Wendy Sarkissian, and this is an excerpt from my new ebook, Stay Close: How to Heal from Grief and Keep Connected to One Who Has Died. To purchase the full ebook, please visit my website at www.stay-close.com or contact me, wendy@sarkissian.com.au. I am also offering a 7-session online course about the principles of connecting to one who has died. Principles are described in the Stay Close book. Course begins on September 18th, 2020 Pacific Time. Thank you again.